Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 463 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glennie.
How you going, fellas?
Fantastic.
How you feeling after Magic Round? Are you feeling unreal?
I feel real.
But the aftermath's all too fucking real.
I'll tell you what, Magic Round, how about happy birthday?
Yes.
You know, I know Magic Round was the big focus, but can't let that go without some celebration.
And honestly, I mean, we have joked for over a decade now that news in the rugby league world happens on the day that we're set to record, or something like that. You know, like it happens in time, it happens on our timetable, and never was that more apparent than when my number one agenda in life, that being the Trent Jab Barrett is a shit coach, on my fucking birthday day of. He gets the sack. I'll tell you, I got some good presents, but none better than that. Thank you, Rugby League guys. Thank you, Gus.
To tell me.
Thank you to the believers.
Are you like the guy from The Princess Bride after he found the six-fingered man?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the first thing I did. The first thing I did was, like, I went to that meme with fucking,
the one from
Narcos. Yeah, with Pablo, like, sad Pablo meme. I'm just like... Now what? I'm like the guy in that meme. I'm like that guy in the street walking down, in the meme walking down the street with his girlfriend on his right, except I'm looking around and I'm not looking at anything yet. There's nothing to look at yet.
It's so sad.
There's just a black hole where my black heart used to be.
Oh, you have no heart.
But it does reinforce to me.
Used to be.
A wise man once said, when asked, what is best in life? And to crush your enemies, Trent's been crushed. He's been driven before you, driven right the fuck out of Belmore, and hear the lamentation of the women, the Canterbury Bankstown fan base.
I was going to say, is that Josh Jackson? He seemed to be
Paul
fucking Vaughan. doing some lamenting.
I dare say that Naden was fairly heavy on the old lamentation as well. I mean, given that he changed sides so that he could be named on Team List Tuesday after the guy was fired on a Monday. quit.
Yes, that's it.
Do you really save any face by saying that he quit? Is anyone?
Well, no, because then you look like a quitter when you. Well, you look like you're a piece of shit who's quit on your guys after losing, you know,
after bringing them whatever. All in.
Yeah, that too, and when asked for comment, Kikau and fucking Reed Marnie were like, "Oh no, we're good, even better now." As a matter of fact,
that's it.
Who's the coach next year? Oh, you don't know yet. That's okay. TBA is still better than Trent Barrett.
That sounds like I remember after I'd ended things. With my ex, I'd met. I was talking to a psych about other stuff, and you know, it came up that things ended just because you know I wanted to end them. Like there was no infidelity. I hadn't run off with my secretary. There wasn't a 19-year-old waiting in the wings. And this psych said to me, "You know what? It probably would have been easier for you if you'd have done that." And I've done my fucking head in. I've gone, what the fuck's going on there? And she goes, essentially what you've said to this person is, being with no one is preferable to being with you.
And the very small amount that I know, she was right.
Yeah, so look, we'll talk about
and,
it in the news episode.
Unfortunately for you, Glennie, the Tigers that may find out that the Bulldogs players also feel the same benefits. Yeah.
That is the other rugby league god fucking movement, in that the Tigers always play against either a player who is being bashed in the media about his form or whatever, and needs to have one of those type of games to fucking get the media off his back. Following week, plays the Tigers, kills it. Or a coach or a club that is under siege. Now, coach gets sacked, no one comes in, or a caretaker comes in, and the fucking boys rally and just happen to play the Tigers and knock them off.
Yes.
It's quality.
And this time you've been kicked in the balls for a third time, in that those two things that you said are 100% correct, but you also have the additional thing that Jacko Hastings has been robbed of his revenge game against the one person that he still holds a grudge against from his original Australian stint.
Yeah.
That's so true.
But he'll still be great, because that's what
he does. I'm sure he'll do what he usually does, touch the ball fucking 180 times for no effect.
Listen, I just need to point out, like, if that's going to be the new fucking path that you go down, Jacko's going to be your new target in which to fucking get at me.
I love him. I wish he stayed at Manly.
I feel like you need to find something else, because I will not have Jackson Hastings sullied by you.
I'll answer your statement with a question. What am I supposed to fucking do? Nofaluma's got a fucking head injury and he can't play. And am I gonna start diving in on some dude that's like, you know, got literal brain injury, brain damage? You'd rather me kick a brain damaged guy kick the strongest guy on the team. David Nofaluma. 3 weeks running now, he's not gonna be able to play due to the effects of you know, concussion. Or, you know, HIA from a couple of weeks ago. Ergo, a brain injury. Ergo, brain damage. You want me to fucking kick a brain damaged person, Glennie? And I mean, look.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Is that what they do? Like, instead of giving him an HIA, does he start, like, if he starts running in line with the rest of the defensive line, they pull him off? Oh, fuck, his depth perception's all gone.
Noffa's got to have a HIA and B.
Oh, fuck me. So hang on. Let me just take a note. HIA and B, that's going to be the title of this one. Now, just first, we got off track a little bit, but Magic Round Boys, would you like to discuss that somewhat?
Oh, I thought it was great, even despite the weather. I was there Sunday and watched all the games, took Jackson along. He got to meet some of Twill Nation at the Lord Alfred there for a little bit.
Did they dump shit on you?
No, actually, they didn't.
Did they let him
Jackson
in?
Jackson did. Yeah,
did they let him in?
Yeah, out the back there. Yep.
Did you ring him up and clear it first?
No, it's all good.
I know you were really worried about it last week, that's all.
I was a little bit concerned. And I thought, I'll ring him, and I was like, nah, fuck it. I'll work it out. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's well taller done. Than you. He'll get fucking through, no problem.
Look,
motherfucker almost is.
just like it was last year, it was a fucking great reminder that the wider rugby league community are actually fans of the game, you know? Not foremost, they're obviously fans of their club, but...
I would have thought they're fans of alcohol from my experience.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
I'm not talking about our listeners, I'm just talking about generally. But, you know, to sit in the stands and when your team's playing, to see a bunch of neutrals around you in whatever jersey for whatever club, like for that brief 80 minutes, pretending they were the fan of a good club, you know, and giving that joy to people. So I saw that many fucking Newcastle and West jerseys. You know, when Luai scored, they got to pretend. You know, it was like there were fucking 60,000 Make-A-Wish children there, and I just got to see them all fucking smile just once. So yes, it truly was magic for me. I really enjoyed
it. What was the weirdest jersey you saw?
All of those fucking gross half and half ones. They can all get fucked.
Yeah, I didn't actually see. I don't know if I didn't see any or if I just didn't. They just didn't register. I saw someone, sent us a picture of someone in like a half Broncos, half St. George one, which is a new monstrosity that I'd not seen before.
Yeah.
But I don't think I really registered those at the time when I'm looking at them.
Do you know what? That Warriors yellow tartan jersey.
Flannelette shirt one, yeah.
Yep. Has just enough Alicia Silverstone and Clueless in it for me. that I don't hate it anymore after seeing it in real life a couple of times.
I suspect the person wearing it might have looked a little different to Alicia Silverstone in Clueless.
Well, she was blonde.
You've got a great
and probably wondering why you and probably wondering why your lipstick was out. Can...
Wasn't that sort of magic, right?
I was having breakfast on Saturday morning, in like the valley, you know, that little lane there at the Ecker there where the Street Fighter burger place is down there,
yeah,
And there was a guy outside Ridges waiting for his transport for the day or whatever that was full kit wanker referee gear.
Yeah, wow.
A civilian in full referee gear. Yeah. So that was probably the weirdest one I saw, but I didn't see the diversity in jersey. I didn't notice the diversity this time around. Whereas like the first one or the second one, it just seemed like people were trying to be the person who had the most obscure fucking jersey on.
Yeah.
From, you know, wherever. But yeah, maybe that's just, you know, the rain kept
great,
people inside.
Great spectacle. And again, yeah, it's like for an event to be pissed down rain on for 3 days solid, and it was fucking pissing down the whole time.
Sunday was humid as fuck.
And still
Sunday,
be a cracker.
Sunday the weather was actually the worst. It wasn't rainy, but it was so fucking hot and humid. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that...
And I'm telling people, yeah, it's fucking hoodie season. Magic Round's like, you know, the first weekend of hoodie season. Wrong.
Yeah.
Nope.
it has to be a success for it to be such a dour weather event, but still go off like that. It was a good weekend.
Yep. And as mentioned, I'm fucking tired. I still haven't slept properly. I think I felt so bad yesterday afternoon that I did a fucking swab for the Rona.
Really?
That's the first COVID test I've ever had.
Oof.
So it's taking like fucking, you know, nearly, you know, 2 and a bit years. That's the first time of any kind COVID test I've had. And,
have you had it, Glenn?
A test?
No, the vid. You're still okay. Oof, we've all dodged it.
Yeah, and the test was emphatically negative. So far so good. I mean, I guess you can't really say you're clear until like after the weekend, maybe for all of us. And let's face it, if one of us have got it, well, if you and I have got it,
yeah,
then. That's you or it. I have it. You and yeah. I have it. And, along with a lot of other fucking people.
And the people,
you know.
all the fucking close talkers that could have given it to us would have seen Glennie on Sunday.
Yeah, true.
That's it. Fucking degenerates, you know who you are.
Close talkers.
Yep. Love it. Well, I mean, that was the thing. Like, I was like, oh, I'm just feeling really fucking tired. That could just mean it's Tuesday. I could just be partied out. My throat's a bit sore, but... You had to speak really loud to speak over the music and the people and the blah blah to get yourself heard when you're a thing. Maybe I'm just losing my voice a little bit from that. And but you know when it gets in your head, you're thinking, oh fuck, have I got the COVID show? Then you're thinking, then your body starts throwing symptoms up to go, yeah, you've got it, motherfucker. But
man, did you listen to that on Huberman?
I did not.
So there's what this podcast that Nate put me on about this guy that's a fucking super smart dude, has a bunch of other super smart dudes on his show. And essentially, like, he broke it down and it makes sense, right? He said it's not the virus that gives you the symptoms. The symptoms that you get for a cold, it's not that the virus causes those symptoms. It's that the symptoms are your body's response to having the virus in it.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, if you start to think you are getting sick, you will start to feel sick and you can, like, placebo affect your body into getting
negatively,
a stuffy nose
or
getting a sore throat. And then just the same as if you are sick, you can do certain things to lessen the symptoms psychologically. So maybe you do have it, but you're just a mental powerhouse.
Oh, I beat the test.
Fuck yeah!
I would like
well
to think
done.
That I'm immune. As I said many times, if I got through Magic Round without getting it, I declare immunity.
You will live forever.
Well, you know, no, just COVID won't be the thing that kills me. That's all.
Yeah, okay.
It's fucking billion other things that'll probably kill me.
On top of that list.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah.
Fucking stop it, Glennie. Andy Raymond will put $1,000 bounty on your head.
Yeah, I was just gonna say,
stab
fucking
that, stab that cunt to death in fucking sleep. Sorry, wait, is this thing on?
I will pay $1,000 to someone who can give me the exact name and location of Glenn Blakely from Toowoomba.
He's due for a bad day. Glenn's there going, fuck, I've been having bad days for free for years, you dumb cunt.
Motherfucker, I have and two bad days a Twitter... week for the last fucking year then, or more.
And then when the cops come for me and go, hey, you're making threats on a podcast saying you're going to pay $1,000 to give Glennie a bad day. I said, yeah, I was just going to fucking throw it on a phone card for some cunts in Malaysia just to keep calling him all day long.
I thought you were just going to fucking say, hey, let's do a podcast. Glennie's going to have a bad day.
Well, technically, no one gave me his address. His kids rang up and gave me their address.
Yeah.
Oh. And that has nothing to... There's zero correlation to why they're wearing brand new fucking Lamellos.
And you know full well, Nathan, and I'll tell you a little story, that you wouldn't actually have to make any fucking movement outside that very chair you're sitting in. All you would have to do is get Leo on the phone, who was unstacking the dishwasher on Sunday morning, and Jackson did nothing but walk past the kid. Leo... was just happened to pull two knives out of the dishwasher and held them up quite menacingly at Jackson, who was just walking past him, and said, I'll cut out your organs.
Jesus.
And that's why he doesn't get cuddles in bed in the morning with mummy and daddy anymore, because the door's locked as a safety precaution at bedtime.
Jackson, as a teenager who had just woken up, just looked at him, grunted something that's like, weirdo, just when he went a bit into his shower, and yeah, good times.
Yeah.
Let's get into these games.
So Leo's the inside man that I need.
Yeah, he really is. He'd probably do it for free, mate, if I'm honest.
You know, I pay my debts. Right, okay, let's get into these games real quick. The Newcastle Knights 16 defeated the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs 6. This one, the Knights tries to Edric Lee, Bradman Best, Adam Clune, Ponga, one conversion, one penalty goal. Bulldogs 6 came through a try to Josh Adokar and a penalty goal to Matt Burton.
No greater exactly dishonour.
Everything that it promised.
Yeah, no greater dishonour to a club than losing to the Knights, clearly. Hence,
correct.
All that the Bulldogs have put up with since Barrett came on board, this was the final straw and the final nail in Barrett's coffin, losing to the fucking Knights. Much as it almost was for Maguire, the game that the Tigers played against the Knights just had the knives out well and truly for Madge, but... pretty ugly game. I don't know that there's a great deal that really needs to be said. Scrappy win and a much-needed one for Newcastle, who'd lost 7 in a row.
I suppose the Bulldogs scored like half of their points that they normally score. Their defence just wasn't good enough to restrict the Knights on the night or on the afternoon.
I don't really know.
This is the thing. I don't know what you can take out of that game, really. I mean, the Bulldogs were woeful in attack, as they've always been. Their only avenue through an attack was what it has been recently, which is Burton to Fox, which we joked about would be the only thing they'd be able to do, and it's proven to be true.
Yep.
The Knights really just... they sealed it very late in the piece. It was like the last couple of minutes when they sealed it with a very easy try through total breakdown of Bulldogs' centre. And all the defenders in the middle close to the posts that I thought was actually going to get pulled back, because it's like watching it live, like, oh, wow, that was fucking easy. There's got to be an obstruction there.
Definitely seen those pulled back previously, but yeah, pretty ugly game at the end. Pretty poor way to start Magic Round with those two sides, but more than made up for it over the course of the weekend.
Look, here's the thing. If you're ever going to have a weekend that's just full of narrative games, this was it. It had the under-pressure Bulldogs. It had the Knights trying to claw their way back into any sort of form. And when it comes to a narrative, the small details don't matter. You know, so it was the Knights that find themselves back in the winner's circle, starting to play more like they did in the first couple of rounds. So I think there's plenty that the Knights will take out of that one. And for the Dogs,
I think they'll take the 2 points, and that's basically it. I don't think it bore much resemblance to the first two rounds other than the 2 points that they got on
no,
the competition.
No, not at all. But I'm saying in terms of a narrative.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Oh, look, these games aren't, none of these games are narrative games except for the fact that the top of the table clash lined up on this weekend. Otherwise, it's just the fucking way the draw, you know, the way the draw went. Yeah. So
that's it.
Yeah, I mean, they're never going to be able to, because let's face it, the narrative for Newcastle would have been about what they are this season, maybe a little bit better, and the narrative for the Dogs was probably maybe they were better because of the signings in the off season. But I don't think anyone at any stage ever had this one penciled in as kicking off magic round with a top of the table clash or anything like that, based on what they thought would happen pre-season.
Kurt, in the Facebook group, he said, Fox protecting the brand of Ponga like a televangelist protects God from the myth. Oh, goddamn. Brendan, he said, watching this game is like watching two double arm amputees in a boxing match. Ouch. Daniel, see, narrative. He said, never in doubt, all we do is win. Champagne bottle emoji, champagne bottle emoji. Well done. Jason said, the effort was better than last week, but only marginally. No real punch in defence, and our attack or lack of is predictable. Every time we make a mistake, it always seems to come back and bite us, but we can't seem to take any advantages of any opportunities that come our way. Only a fool tries the same thing 100 times and expects a different result. There you go.
That's it.
That's it.
Next, fucking Broncos 38 defeated the Miami Dolphins Eagles fucking nothing. Broncos tries to Adam Reynolds, a double to Corey Oates, and a hat trick to Selwyn Cobbo. As good wingers do, Glennie, you sort of jump in on you. You've got to be faster on that. You actually created that fucking tag, and you haven't used it since you've come back. Or, as I hope, as good centers do when he plays for Manly as of next year. What a game for the young man to fucking on the morning where it's like, oh yeah, Manly, you're looking at signing him fucking off the Broncos. Yeah, you passed the audition, sir. You're fucking fantastic. This is legitimately the worst. Like, I've been to all my, like, I certainly not 100% of them, but I have been to almost every Manly / Northern Eagles game in Brisbane, Gold Coast, or otherwise surround in southeast Queensland in the past fucking 30 plus years. This is most definitely the fucking worst performance I have seen since I used to have to go to fucking, I can't even remember what era it was. When it was when the Broncos were still playing at QE2 and I lived at Mount Gravatt, and I think it was the post Super League, maybe post Northern Eagles, but it's fucking, it was the worst performance since I used to go sit in cold ass cavernous QE2 and watch us get beaten by fucking 50 every fucking game. And although back then the excuse was just, there was just a lack of talent. That's when we had like fucking, you know, guys like Grant Wooden and fucking Gary Winter and stuff playing for us, and, you know, Brendan Reeves as fullback.
Fucking Wooden and Winter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what those guys do with themselves these days, but every time
Wooden
you
is a,
bring up the fucking shit teams of that era, those two cunts are always the names you bring up for 12 years plus now.
Albie Torrens, fucking, I'm trying to, they're the ones that, you know, Nathan Long, they're the ones that stick in my mind. But Gary Winter, because the reason why he sticks in my mind is because he was he's a player that had a narrative. He was signed for nothing, and he just got out of prison for murder. So you think, as a prop,
that's murderous Gary Winter.
Like, exactly. But he didn't deliver on the promise that Frank Molo has, not one little bit. He was actually, you know, he was a back rower at best, and one that should never have played first grade. but that was the level of actual quality in the team then, and obviously now there's like tons of quality in the side, but the application was fucking terrible. And maybe those sides back then, maybe they were doing the best that they could, you know, based on the cattle that they had. But this was just fucking hopeless, and it was like a convergence of the wet weather worst case Manly side, the regular Manly side that loves to turn over the ball or provide piggybacks downfield via penalties and six against, combined with just fucking playing terribly every time and squandering every opportunity that they had an attack, which there wasn't a fucking lot of because of point B, constantly handing the ball over and the, you know, and having a gigantically lopsided fucking possession. Then the flip side of that was Adam Reynolds getting the ball in fucking good ball or near you know, good ball positions and having potentially the greatest fucking short kicking game, I think, a single game that I've seen anyone ever have. Like, it was fucking pinned. Like, these, they had to be pinpoint accurate, especially the ones like the two over to Cobbo. And that, and he just executed fucking amazingly. And I see he has a groin injury and potentially may not play next week. Apparently, he said he's all good, but apparently he's got a groin injury from the game, from kicking the shit out of the fucking ball probably 78 fucking times.
And that's it. It's not like he was getting them out of trouble all night. It's a repetitive stress injury from grubbers.
it was a repetitive stress injury from fucking chip kicks, 20-meter chip kicks.
And look, here's the thing. We've said it before. The short kicking game is a fucking dwindling art. It is a dwindling
art. This was an absolute throwback.
It was a masterclass.
Seriously, though, I cannot remember a single game. It's got to be one 80-minute period, a better fucking attacking kicking game than this ever. And I'm old, so I could have forgotten stuff in the past.
When was the last time you saw a legitimate chip and chase even?
Yeah.
It's an easy one.
Usually it's Jai Arrow trying it. Usually it's Jai Arrow trying it when the chips are down.
Or it's one of the, you know, like the Billy Slater Origin one where it's 1-on-1 to get it through the line. And this is the thing with Reynolds. It's his brain, and it's not that he's a brilliant footy strategist. It's, they got some wounded cattle out there. That means the cover's not going to be as quick as it usually is.
Mm.
And if they're banking on me going back that way, I've got a little bit of space behind them. You know, it's what a smart footballer does for your fucking team. Oh, there's a weakness there. Let's see what we can do about it.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, I think he's, my point being, if he stays healthy, because we know how injury prone he is, but he's a legitimate contender for the Daily M at this stage. Absolutely. Yeah. What he's doing, and we've even take the South discussion out of it and what it's done to them, the football that he's playing alone is fucking outstanding. Yeah. And the impact that he's having on that side is
one of the things about the season for me. To bring the South thing up, and I mean, we've talked about what it's done to Cody Walker and his game. The thing we haven't spoken about is, I think with him being the man and not having to fucking like parcel up portions of the game with another star player, I think that has been great for him as well.
That's
being
a fair
the guy
point.
That can do everything, and so he's being the guy that can do everything. He doesn't have to defer to anybody. And he can just do, and he can do everything. And when it comes off, it's fucking amazing.
I'm curious as to how far through the season this can go. And by that I mean, obviously, at the moment it is, you know, new environment, new opportunities, one team town, positive press everywhere, loving life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough to sustain him through a season in terms of efforts? You know, does he
get
to that
point to prove and a chip on his shoulder? I think gets him through
the
season.
I think so too.
You reckon he's got a season's worth of a chip?
Definitely. I mean, the thing that's going to stop him is not him. It's the fact that when he's on like this, he can win the game for his team fucking no problem at all. And he's had a couple of games like that this season, this one being by far the better one, but I mean, he has had a couple like this. The only thing is, he needs, there are going to be times when he has to do it without the support of anyone around him.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the thing that slows him down.
And again, here's the thing that always happens in the NRL. He'll be on everyone's radar. And it wasn't like he wasn't before.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you watch defences run up and just fucking hammer him to try and put a bit of the sourds in him.
Or injury.
And try, yeah, try and put a bit of the Reynolds into him.
On the socials, Ryan, He said Foran's playing like somebody who recently signed a contract and no longer has to prove themselves for overs. Fucking out.
That was actually an excellent. That was an excellent point. He played fucking horrible, like the worst game he's played since he came back. You know, and so the worst game since he was probably, I don't know, at the Dogs. Maybe even wrong. It was like legitimately fucking terrible. Like some of the passes he threw were fucking god awful. There were ones where he was linking up in the line and just dropping the ball cold and shit. He was fucking terrible. And he needs to get that shit out. He needs to get the tight shit out of his system, or at least fucking hold it off for another fucking 6 months or so.
Sean, he said, hopefully Adam's Reynolds' shoulders hold up because he is carrying this Broncos team. Yes, he is. Mendoza.
That's what they're paying him for.
Mendoza said, Garrick forever with his hand in Cobbo's pocket. He is getting an absolute bath. It certainly is. Terry, he said, Dylan Walker is doing his best Cody Walker impression. Okay. Neil.
Yeah, true. I didn't realize that was him live. I was actually cursing out for him, and then someone said, no, it was fucking Dylan Walker.
Neil, he said, Tommy Ponga is showing why even Manly fans think Garrick is a good fullback.
I saw him come out today going, oh, you know, I'm named in a team. No, motherfucker. Legitimately, if you're not 100%, sit this one out. It's good. Yeah. Fucking Ruben Garrick's there. I mean, he's a fucking leader for the State of Origin fullback position. You're hearing it more and more. Let him be the fullback. You can fucking just chill, bro. See how you carried us last year? Just fucking chill down until you get your fucking shit 100%.
If you keep saying it and people keep listening to the show, that doesn't mean that people are hearing it more and more, because they're still just hearing it from you.
Glennie, you're finally getting it, Glennie. You're finally getting it. They are hearing it more and more because I'm saying it more and more.
So what you
finally?
The other thing is though, with Dylan Edwards for Origin, you're starting to hear it from more sources. So people are looking at all the statistics.
Literally, nobody has said anything about Dylan Edwards for Origin.
Everyone,
people are hearing about it. We just heard about it.
You've put more time into being scared of Dylan Edwards than you can to hype up your own fucking, you know, shit candidate. You're essentially Scott Morrison at this stage. Brendan, he said, you would think the highest paid player in the history of the game would have an idea how to tackle. Yet every time he is run over like he is from the under sevens. DCE is a myth. Interesting. You're hearing that more and more too. Scott, he said they can't even blame it on Morgan Harper tonight. Cunts couldn't catch COVID in a Wuhan wet market. Manly had no answers for the Broncos middle and appear to be the team, along with South, struggling the most with the rule changes. And in real talk, I think that's one of your first concerns. Is your
I think the first concern is
fucking
is wearing
soft.
I think the first thing that we need to worry about is thankfully that was time number two of two times total that we're wearing that cursed fucking black jersey.
There we go.
And I don't care how fucking magical fucking Paige fucking Spirinax fucking tits look on points bet fucking commercials. Not wearing that goddamn thing ever fucking again. Burn it. Continue. Was that the last one, was it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so the Rabbitohs 32 defeated the Warriors 30. And this one, the Rabbitohs 32, had double to Milne. Taffy, Johnson, Cook, Ilias tries. Four conversions to Taffy. For the Warriors, Montoya got a double. Pompey, Jastavanga, and Dejanasi with tries. Reece Walsh, 5 of 5 conversions. And this one was the stereotypical game of two halves.
It was. I think the rain levelled things up a little bit and worked in the Warriors' favour. But some of the defence that South put up as the Warriors were coming back at them in that second half has to be a huge concern. They're just soft. There's no other way to put it. And I don't think South, they're certainly not the side, the same quality side that made the grand final last year for lots of reasons. But I don't think they're a good enough side this year to be putting the queue in the rack at any stage, let alone with 40 minutes of a game to play. Pretty disappointed in the way the way the Warriors have been going. It was every opportunity for South to go on and really put another big score on the Warriors, and they they fell over completely, and the Warriors almost got them.
I think the Warriors are the Warriors, to be honest, and
yeah,
and that second and that first half was exactly that, and then maybe the second half, maybe they can look at that as a positive. Maybe that's the start. That's the corner.
I watched this one in the pub with a bunch of the other listeners, and the amount of people that were just there fucking sad about Sean Johnson, and in a year where I'm trying to be positive about everything, he just fucking brings me down thinking about, you know, everything he could have been. And if at this stage of your career, after playing that much rugby league, if you're still taking poor options, if you're still, you know, throwing lazy passes, and that's the only way I can describe it is when just, you know, lackadaisical efforts. What are you there for? You know, you're not doing the best for your teammates. You're not doing the best for yourself. If your heart's not in it, man, fucking hell. Best game I've seen.
I would suggest that he's there for fucking for currency that's worth 80% of Australian dollars.
Best game I've seen out of Cody Walker in a while. However, the Rabbits still look like there is no cohesion in there. You know, when they were making their charge for the grand final last year, when they would set up for plays, you knew everybody in that team knew exactly what was coming, knew exactly what they had to do, and everybody went out there and they executed. I'm not sure how taking a seven away from one side of the field can make the other side of the field look so fucking woeful and like they haven't played together at all. You know, and yes, there's going to be some disjointedness because your seven's the glue and you'll put you around the field, but there's something at South where I don't know if it's communication, I don't know if it's trust. They are a shell of what they were last year. And they don't seem to be able to come together as a group to get themselves through 80 minutes.
Fair point.
Look, and again, you know, Mitch was a big out for them, but I don't know. Gus, he said, hello, I'm one of your POM followers over the water. Hello, Gus, thanks for commenting. He said, can't for the life of me think what the Warriors bring to your game. Anyone? What do the Warriors bring? Like that, they've bought us a couple of great super fans, but that's it. By losing for so long, they've bought us some of the staunchest fans in the world. That's their only contribution to the NRL.
They've been on the right end of some Tigers meme games, though.
I was gonna say, like, I mean, if we're gonna start fucking pointing the finger at clubs, I mean, you know, what a fucking Canterbury, what a fucking Newcastle, what a, dare I say, the West Tigers bring to the fucking game,
motherfucker.
Because arguably, all of them bring less than the fucking Warriors do.
The West Tigers have provided this very show with content and lots of it.
Well, that's true.
For more than a decade.
That's true. But I mean, does the game respect that contribution? I mean, we do.
Well, no one respects anything that the West Tigers do, Nathan. That's the problem.
I mean, like, you know, like, sure, like, you know, the podcast equivalent of shitposting appreciates it. But does the game? No.
Damien, he said, other than they suck, how do they fix the Warriors?
Look, that has been a topic for discussion.
Brownie's not the guy.
And every other... No, he is not. Brownie is not the guy. But, I mean, they've had guys that I thought could have been the guy.
For sure.
And it's not happened for him, so...
Look...
It's tough. I think people are more intricately... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the Warriors' only tiny medium of success was when they had the greatest coach in the history of the fucking game coaching them, who took them so far beyond their potential to a grand final. You know, you got to remember, this man, Ivan Cleary, has taken the Warriors to a grand final and has had Luke Brooks named Dally M halfback of the year. He's achieved things in coaching that no one else ever could. So, But seriously, I think the first thing you got to do with the Warriors is their conditioning is fucked. And with the way that the game is played and refereed at the moment, you need to be able to go at a pace with the top teams. You know, the top teams at the moment are the ones that can get out there and they can perform at a high intensity for 80 minutes and know they can go up gears until you don't have any more gears left. And the Warriors, especially in the forwards, they're built for the game that was played 4 years ago. So if that's me, that's where I start.
So you don't fix that in a season.
Well, no, but I feel like they've got the foundations there. It starts at the coach, but like we just said, I mean, there's been coaches there that could have done something with them in the past and didn't, you know, apart from fucking Daniel Anderson, and you know, and both times they had fucking amazing players in the side as well to fucking get them going. But now they don't have the halves that they've had in the years they're successful. Mm. I mean, Reece Walsh is a fucking great player. And it feels like everything good that happens to them comes from him.
Yep.
But fuck, if you're hanging everything
on a kid that's played one season. Back,
Yeah.
That's that ain't it. The way.
Finally, Richard said, the Warriors prove they can fall short in every aspect of rugby league, even comebacks. Fucking scathing from Warriors fans. Rightly so.
Okay, Titans 20 defeated the Gold Coast, the St. George Illawarra Dragons 16. The Titans 20 came through tries to Brimson, Osako, Firma, and Wallace. Conversions 2 from 3 for Osako, and I don't normally mention the misses, but this one bears repeating. 2 missed field goals for Osako, 1 for Jaden Campbell, 1 for Sexton. The Dragons 16 came through tries to Finai, DeBellin, and Suli. 1 conversion for Zach Lomax, 1 penalty goal. And Lomax also missed with the solitary attempt that the Dragons got off.
Bit of golden point excitement in fairly atrocious conditions. Titans came away with a try in golden point in the corner through Osako and took the win. But I thought the Dragons had more than their fair share of opportunities to win the game even before it got to golden point. And
when it came to golden point, I don't think they did have any opportunities. Hey, it seemed like it was all Titans, and I can't believe that the Titans squandered that many fucking good attempts at field goals.
Yeah,
because the Dragons, they didn't have a sniff in golden point itself.
No, tell me.
Sorry, go ahead, Glenny.
Does it look like Sloan's been dropped again this week?
I haven't had a look at the team list yet. I can quickly fucking scan down there for you. Let me have a look.
He had a couple of moments.
Yes,
he's 20.
He's 22, and Cody Ramsey back to fullback. So he has been.
So he was one of their best all season, and he's been dropped.
Yeah.
Did he? You know, and I know he had a couple of bungles, and he had that kick where he's tried to trap it with his foot, and he's booted it into Ben Hunt, giving the differential penalty. Was he drop worthy? Like, what's Hook doing with this kid?
I think he's fucking him mentally is what he's doing. You get far more out of him if you play him again.
One of the most brainless things I've ever fucking seen in my life.
Yeah, it was ordinary.
I mean,
and he had
you're
a
in
couple
a position
moments,
to catch the ball, but catch the fucking ball, mate. You had Ben Hunt standing there to fucking as a blocker that wouldn't have been called for an escort. You had a clear shot of that fucking...
So he had the patron saint of drop balls standing right in fucking front of him and somehow got the yips. Okay, fucking ease up on him.
And mate, he wasn't even born when Ben Hunt fucking dropped that ball in 2015. He was still swimming in his daddy's fucking sack. He's got no excuses.
But that's the thing. Is that drop worthy from everything else that you've seen out of the St. George Illawarra Dragons?
No, it's not. It's
but
not
to
right.
drop
it's
him and then
worthy,
put
but...
Cody Ramsey in there, who's hasn't set the world alight during his opportunities at fullback either.
Maybe he set some crosses alight.
I think he's pretty... Ramsey's been terrible in defence. I mean, we saw him last year, it was mostly on the wing, wasn't it, when he had his opportunities.
That's it.
The thing, like, I can deal with dropping Sloan if you've got, you know, grand designs on Ramsey being the guy and you want to give him a chance. But at the same time, if you really want to build confidence in a young guy, I mean, you want to give him some continuity and you want to give him the feeling that a solitary mistake won't see his fucking first grade career come to an end.
Yeah, that's it.
So he can go out there without the fucking weight of the world on his shoulders. And then you've got a game against the Warriors coming up, which...
Yeah.
Not traditionally, but if you look at the last month or so of action, is a more forgiving opponent.
Yep.
Against which to ply your trade.
Yep.
And perhaps build a little bit of confidence and perhaps become the player that they, you know, that they hope and anticipate he will become. But I just can't see dropping Tyrell Sloan in a world where fucking Jack fucking jet ski plays first grade football and Aaron Woods in the same fucking team of all things.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Ash in the socials said, this week we're making the Titans look like the Storm, just like last week when we made the Storm look like the Storm. Mark, he said, it's great to see Maguire getting sent off for a professional foul instead of foul play. Inclining. That's it. Take your silver linings. And Lachlan, he said, I only watched the highlights, but that last step from Campbell on Hunt was unbelievable. One of the fastest changes in direction I've ever seen. I was impressed with the kid. I'm not going to start fucking Ponga hyping him up.
No.
No.
Because he is fucking 30 kilos of skin and bone playing against 110 kilogram monsters. But, fuck, if he does three things a game that remind me of Preston Campbell, then I hope he has a fucking long and stellar career and I will watch every game he plays with great admiration. Because well I fucking loved watching his father play. And I only hope that he has a smidgen of the success that Preston did. And also, one of the true advocates for the Indigenous game.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Yep.
The family deserves all the success they get.
Is that it for the...
That's it.
Okay. The Panthers 32 defeated the Storm 6. Panthers doubled Otago. Kickout, Luai, Crichton tries. Cleary, 5 conversions and a penalty goal. Storm try to Nick Meaney. Conversion, Nick Meaney.
That's all the scoring.
Yeah.
That's it.
Floor is yours, Jay.
Much better run this week from Penrith than last week. I think the loss to Parramatta, I guess, opened a few eyes. And I felt that the young guys in the squad really aimed up and probably took things a bit more seriously this week.
I mean, it's a top-of-the-table clash. You know, even the outs that Melbourne had, I mean, it was still a top-of-the-table clash. So these are the easy games.
To get up for.
To get up for, exactly.
And that's why I said that I think the timing was convenient. To have that loss right before the game that you need to focus for. Because, let's be real, there isn't an awful lot out there. And that's where, you know, Penrith struggled with it last year. I feel teams like Manly did as well. Like in that run they went on at the back end of the season, they didn't really play a lot of quality opposition. And I think that hurt them come finals time. But it really is pleasing to see that Penrith can adjust to the conditions. You know, it was wet weather footy and they were able to just walk up to that line of unwise play. You know, if you go too far into your shell in wet weather football, then it just becomes a grind and it takes a lot of the advantages that Penrith could potentially have out of the equation. But still being expansive with the football when you're allowed, giving space to your outside backs with early ball. I think Luai had a much better game as well. Like, he's starting to come back into form. He'd been a bit quiet over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I thought he had a great game.
And their defence. That's the thing. Now, granted, they were up against a Melbourne team with a cowardly 7 who was so fucking worried about some good old-fashioned Mount Druitt-style retribution for comments that he made, that he's faked an injury. You know, Cameron Munster, for some reason, you know, dyed his fucking hair. I don't know if that means that he'd had another big weekend on the unidentified white powder that no one knows what it is. And he was a bit worried about some follicle testing coming through. I've heard that that's what players do. You hear it more and more. But... yep. It also goes to show that this Melbourne Storm team is probably the closest to mortal that we've seen in a long time. You know, I think this is probably as poor a Melbourne Storm performance as I remember in recent memory.
No, I don't remember Melbourne ever looking that rushed and panicked and without real options to stop the flow of points.
Yeah.
And like over and above what you would expect with the outs that they had.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it was far more than that alone, you know.
Yeah. So and again, this is what happens when you're playing with confidence, when you're playing with pace and when you're accurate. You rush people to make decisions, you know, and for some of the new ins that Melbourne had that hadn't been in that Storm system, I think the reason the Storm looks so calm a lot of the time is because there aren't too many situations that they haven't been in before.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it is, well, yeah, okay, cool. So no matter what happens here, if I don't have it covered, they will. Let's just go out there and all just get our job done. Whereas these younger kids are going to freak out a little bit, so they'll get better with age, just as all of the Melbourne Storm players do, and they'll adjust to the Melbourne system. But this will be a good confidence builder for Penrith, that they could have that loss, that they could leave themselves a little bit exposed, and they should rightly so feel like they caused a lot of the issues in Melbourne, even with the outs that they had.
Fair.
All right, hit the socials.
Terry, he said the flat track bullies have been exposed. I don't know whether he's saying that Penrith were flat track bullies because Melbourne are shit, or whether Melbourne are only good against shit teams. But Mendoza said, how is DCE higher paid than Yeo? Yeo is a way better playmaker. Changed my mind. Well, the reason, Mr. Mendoza, or Rod, if you will, is that Isaiah Yeo is the most underrated player of all time, and DCE is the most overrated player of all time. Lachlan said, it seems a champion team will always beat a team of Billy Idols. Yes, it will. And Cameron said, how much cash sitting on the pine between Hughes, Pappy, Smith and Welch? Then Cheese going off early. Yuck. Fingers crossed there is a full-strength game later in the season. Yes, I would like that as well. Let's go. That was on it. To the next one.
Everyone too busy fucking double fisting beers and not fucking tweeting or
commenting. Look, again, magic round. Because so many people were there and around, most of the comments in a lot of the threads were conversational.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. Not so much comments about the game, but chats about different things that happened during the game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. The Raiders 30 defeated the Sharks 10. The Raiders 30 came through tries to Seb, Chris, Schneider, Papali'i, Harawira Naira, Hudson Young. 4 conversions to Schneider, 1 penalty goal. The Sharks 10 tries to Katoa and Hunt, with Nico Hines 1 conversion.
This
is fucking downright inspirational.
The Sharks' performance was by far the worst of the weekend. They were fucking woeful.
It was one of the worst.
Sure.
That is a
worst. I mean, I guess if you want to run a tiebreaker and say, yeah, they were playing against fucking 11 men at one point, and they're playing, and it was almost actually the mirror image of the game that they played against the Warriors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
watching it live, they look completely out of the game throughout. Just dropping balls, Carl.
They're attacking. Yeah, but even their attacking fluency and stuff, like when they got the good positions, they just did. They had nothing. They were just going side to side with no real, you know, direction. And I don't know if you can only attribute it to the fact that they moved Nico Hines back to fullback because of the suspensions.
But Moylan didn't get moved. His position stayed the same, and he was fucking woeful.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't there. And then when you add to that the constant sin binnings that Canberra sustained in the second half, should have been plenty to get a half competent Sharks attack on the board, you know, more than required. But the Raiders, it was downright inspirational the way that they defended when short manned. And then when they started to get their guys back on the field and eventually get it back to 13-on-13, the way that they were then able to, you know, sink the dagger in and finish the game off.
There was a time where the Raiders were rucking it out. They were rucking it out from their own end with 11 men.
Yep.
And they stripped the Sharks for numbers on the edge and made a long break up the sideline. How the fuck is that even possible?
Yeah, exactly.
I think maybe part of the reason that we've all underestimated just how important Will Kennedy is to what the Sharks do and how they play, and obviously plays an important position as part of the spine, but they just, like, he was replaced with a quality player in Nicho Hynes that's played plenty of fullback, and they...
Yeah, but then deprived the halves of Nicho Hynes as well.
True, but I was really surprised to see the Sharks play that poorly. And let me tell you,
Trindle is not good.
No, he's not.
He's anti-good. and maybe that was just the single biggest factor, the fact that they had to move Nicho, you know, due to the suspension. But I would rather than highlight how poor the Sharks were, I think despite that, the Raiders absorbed so much fucking punishment and field position against them when they were down on numbers.
Yep.
They played the short-manned game amazingly, and then when they finally got their opportunity to come back, they got the daggers. And you had young Wolford there looking like his next generation. For the Raiders.
It really was the best mental performance I've seen out of Canberra in a long time.
Imagine what this could potentially do for them. I mean, this is a team that's renowned for fading in games when they're matched up level with numbers. And I'm sure at halftime, even though they had a great halftime lead, that would have been the number one thing that they were trying to combat. And then when they start losing guys, I mean, then it makes the fade look even more inevitable.
Yep.
And then the fact that they powered through down to 11 men at some stages.
Yeah.
And put on more points to seal the game. It was just like, it could just do so much for that fucking side.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see how it translates.
Yep.
For the rest of the season. That's it.
Nice. On the socials, Mitch, so the Sharks clearly need a send off to inspire them. Throw an arm or flip someone, you dumb cunts. There you go. Jason, with an interesting stat, fucking love this one. He said it's been 8 straight since Mick Ennis mocked the Viking clap. Mock the clap at your own peril.
Wow.
Interesting. 8 straight. Was that 16? That was the premiership year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. That's right. Yeah, it was his last year. Richard, he said the Sharks approach rugby league immortality by doing what few other clubs have been able to achieve, allowing the Raiders to score 2 second half tries. Ha ha.
That's it.
That's us.
All right. The Roosters 31 defeated the Eels 24. The Roosters tries 2. Jarrell Hargraves, Sam Walker, James Tedesco, and double to Joseph Suali. Walker, 3 conversions, 2 penalty goals, and a field goal. Defeating the Eels 24, a double to Isaiah Papali'i, Mitch Moses, and Ryan Madison with tries, and Moses 4 conversions.
A couple of glaring errors from Gutho in this game. One where he, was clean bowled by a ball along the ground, and Teddy was too quick for him and got to the ball first to score his try. Some of his positional play was far less than of a standard than I would have expected from him. One in particular, he was nowhere to be seen where the Roosters scored, to the point where I was sitting next to the great man, Frogmore, and we both looked at each other and said, where the fuck is he? he was actually defending in the line, you know, 20 metres out from the try line that he's defending. And he's defending in the line. They put a kick over and they raced through and scored untouched.
Yeah, that's it. Just fuck.
Crazy. Moses, in stark contrast to Gutho in that game, I felt like he wheeled them back into the game. He put the team on his back and had a couple of, you know, moments in each half where he scored solo tries. And he, you know, he's a great competitor when he's on. He doesn't like it when things don't go his way. But in this game, I was really impressed with how he really upped his level of personal intensity and took his teammates with him. And the Roosters, in the end, the last try with Suwali was, you know, one of a couple of moments that he had. But that try that he scored at the end of the game was went somewhere along to living up to some of the hype that's been around him since he started to, you know, look like he was coming into first grade, even when he was at South.
Yep.
Well, since there was that tug of war, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Anything else you want to say on this one, Nate?
No, not me.
Nice. Terry said, Moses is actually still a decent enough half behind a beaten forward pack. Must be the experience he picked up at the Tigers. Michael, he said, as a Queensland fan, I would appreciate more Gutho for New South Wales fullback buzz. You are hearing that less and less. There is no buzz. Completely at fault for Tedesco and Walker tries in the first half. John said, played half an hour of good footy, but gave the Roosters way too much of a head start. I thought Parramatta were past the whole turn up one week, don't turn up the next bullshit, but clearly not. At least the neutrals here at Suncorp got an entertaining contest. Off to the bar I go. That is a very fucking zen way to look at it.
I like it.
Nice.
Righto. Last game of Magic Round, the North Queensland Cowboys 36 defeat the West Tigers 12. The Cowboys 36 tries to drink water. Felt, Ruben Cotter, Petahiku, Nanai, and a double to Taulagi. Four conversions to Val Holmes. The Tigers 12 came through tries to Tupou and Garner. Hastings, two conversions. Glennie, well,
I've always said, guys, the Tigers will always score moral victories against the Cowboys, and they always win
moral,
the
hearts. What?
And imaginations of the rugby league world at Magic Round. And I feel like that remained and was shown to be true in this game.
They won no hearts. What hearts did they win?
All of the hearts. All of every last heart. Don't claim yourselves, because neither of you have hearts. There's arseholes where your heart should be. We lost our six, our inspirational six, Brooksy. We lost our hooker. We lost the starting prop. We had a standing fullback and a winger on debut, although that alternates week to week. But at the moment,
week
it was sinking. Littles had his concussion issues as well, let's be honest. Not a lot of tackling technique practice going on at the Tigers, it would seem. Too much quad stretching, not enough tackling practice. You know, as I said, lost our six, lost our nine, lost the starting prop, had a standing fullback and a winger on debut, and in my mind, we still won the game. Not on the scoreboard, but in the places where it counts, in my heart, in which the hearts of rugby league fans.
It's just a narrative that I did not hear at any stage in all of Magic Round, where rugby league fans, where pretty much all of the rugby league fans, in fact, were assembled together.
Look, the Cowboys, They took what the Tigers gave them, and the Tigers, I feel like they, if this was last year, and even at some points when we had that horrible run, certainly last year we lose that game by 50, but they kept going right to the very end, and I think that is a testament to Jackson Hastings. And I will talk the man up, but, you know, he played until the last whistle. He never dropped his head. He never stopped pushing. He never stopped talking. So what you're saying is
he doesn't understand the situation he's in.
That's a ridiculous assessment.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying he's a phenomenal player, and I'm fucking glad he's on our team.
Don't want to tell David Nofaluma that he can't play because he's got fucking brain damage. Yeah, Glennie'd have us believe.
Fucking masterful performance from the Tigers, and unfortunately, several of them died during this game, and Cowboys fucking really only closed it out at the end, which is, says a lot more about the Cowboys than it does about the Tigers.
This fucking Cowboys team keeps on rolling. It fucking keeps on rolling, yeah.
They're actually impressive to watch. Some of their structures is actually, and I think, again, I feel like you're hearing it more and more. I'm giving Chad Townsend fucking credit, and I feel dirty, but, you know, Dearden has a freedom to play as a young player without the weight of the world on his shoulders because of what Chad Townsend is doing in that side. And watching them live, and certainly from the seats that we had, you could really see, you know, just how...
Where were your Sunday seats? Were they sort of like down in the in goal, like pretty much behind the post?
Yeah. Well, not... Yeah, to the left of the...
To the right post. Or left, yeah. Okay.
But they're actually... They're going to be... They're already a good side. They're going to be very good. And I think they're still figuring out a few things, and they've got some young players that'll benefit from experience over time, but the Cowboys have already had people sit up and take notice, and I think that's going to continue over the course of the season.
Yeah, nice. So you always win at Magic Round. How good?
Always, and we always beat the Cowboys.
Always beat the Cowboys, and especially at the Magic Round.
Remains to Reece, be true. I thank you for agreeing with me.
Reece, with another fucking great stat. He said, unless the Cowboys are beaten by 50 or tonight, they'll be the only team not to change ladder position this weekend.
Wow.
Which would have been true, except that Penrith were one and they're still one at the end. So, close. Very fucking close. Justin, he said, just remember, the Tigers always beat the Cowboys.
I agree. Still happening.
Jason said, just remember, the Tigers always beat the Cowboys. Thanks, real dad. Simon, he said, remember, the Tigers always beat the Cowboys. And there were legit
fucking hell.
Another four or five of those. So, yes, people have, well, I don't want to say long memories, but memories of this show. Well done.
Sounds like one track fucking minds. Really?
That's us.
Okay, so that's it for episode 263. Thanks for listening. As always, if you want to support the show, a great way people supported the show on the weekend was fucking coming out to the Lord Alfred Hotel, where we spent where we had a base station for most of the weekend's festivities. There was a constant Hotel La, as they say in Malaysia, and it was a good core crowd of people there at all times. I mean, we would pop out, go to games, go to get a bite or whatever, but there were always people there, and had that section locked down from Friday, the same spot locked down all Friday onward, and so it was just excellent, and it was great to meet people who came out.
Yep.
And especially those who travelled, you know, interstate and shit to get up to the Magic Round and see the games. But yeah, if you'd like to support the show, head to patreon.com/ToolNation and become a patron and enjoy the benefit of extra episodes and much more. Now, just quickly, the tipping probably should drop in on there. At the moment, top 10, we have Doohig on top alone, followed by Kiwi Villa, Cooked Tip, Broccoli Bob. That's a new entrant. Kerim. Cows to win 22, benefiting from his team's success this season. McTool 75 is an old school name. Mitch Rich, Alpha Ben RL, and Reynolds Raging Rowana round out the top 10. And I absolutely rocketed up the charts this week. Would have been one of the best tips in the competition because I didn't put my tips in, so I got 5 out of 8. As opposed to probably the fucking 0 or 1 that I would have got otherwise. So I'm racing towards the top 50 and only a couple of points out of the top 10. So hide Uranus's. Now, that's it, boys. Do you want to have any? Do you have anything else that you would like to say about Magic Round before we wrap this one off?
I think
I would like to give a shout out to the wives and partners and whatever, because 3 days of fucking rugby league debauchery, whether you know, manned the home fort in Brisbane or interstate or whatever it is, or whether you were up and taking part, it couldn't have happened without the support of our loved ones. So while we were out there having fun, you know, other people were out there living in the real world.
Cunt, you did 2 hours. Fuck me, Dad.
I was trying to praise fucking
exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jay, for keeping the hosts of the show COVID free and keeping yourself refreshed. And look, I'm sure that the six listeners that managed to fucking catch a fleeting glimpse of you as you ran by appreciated it.
Certainly did.
That was great. Good times.
Glennie, I'll tell you now, I'm gonna put it down on fucking tape right now. Oh, Glennie, he's got some big plans for fucking Magic Round 2023, let me tell you.
If even half of them
come to fruition, oh, you want to get your little red rockets up to fucking Brisbane.
I'll tell you, I support Glennie's goals, and I can't wait to hear how he goes.
You motherfuckers.
I'll do it with you, Glennie. I'm fucking there for it. Jeez.
As in the planning and organisation of it, or the showing up to it?
No, we'll execute.
I shut up. I execute, motherfucker. What are you talking about?
On that note, let's go. Later.
Put a pin in this one, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.